Welcome back. Frank really covered a lot of information in that hour, and all of it pragmatic, very correct in my view, and it's kind of matter of fact among those who really study and care and assimilate the reality in which we live, not that which comes through the screens and all the rest of the media. That's a scam. It's a fraud. There's a lot going on today, and I think most importantly, the arrogance and the ego of Donald J. Trump is second to none. He just posted a video on his Truth Social site last night, I guess, and it just mirrors exactly what we've been saying here for a couple of months now. They're going to kick everybody out of Gaza one way or the other. They're going to build Dubai on the Mediterranean. That's what the Jews want. And since I personally think it's at least 50-50 that Trump converted in 2017, he is absolutely acting 110% like he is a member of the international Jewish Zionist community, period. And, you know, his son-in-law, daughter, converted, children, the grandchildren, all Jewish, so... You know, why not? And when you remember that little Benny Shapiro took him to New York to pray at the crypt of Rabbi Schneerson right before the election, that should give you about as much backup information as you need. All right, let's bring on Gary Holland from Las Vegas. A lot to talk about, a lot of things going on here. Hello, Gary. Welcome back. How's everything in the Las Vegas that I remember, but which has now got a new coat of paint? It's not the same.
Not too bad. And how's it going for you this evening, Jeff?
Rolling along. Thank you. Doing well.
Yeah, so I will say that Donald Trump, if he did do conversion to Judaism, I have two trains of thought on that. One, I believe he's been Jewish since birth. But second opinion I have, the alternative opinion I have, is that he married Ivana Trump. Ivana Trump was Jewish. Ivana right. Trump, yeah. And I'm going to tell you, by all the years in the past, or I've known four different people who's married into Jewish families. Uh-huh. All four of them converted to Judaism. And why is that? The Jewish families, when you marry into Judaism, which is, by the way, they tried to use the cover story, that's why Ivanka converted to Judaism, because the Kirchner family would not allow Jared to marry her unless she converted.
Uh-huh.
The thing was, uh-huh. They didn't need to convert, because they were automatically Jewish. See, if you're born from a Jewish mother, you're considered Jewish in the Jewish community. You're automatically considered Jewish.
Sure.
Donald Trump converted to Judaism the day he married Ivana Trump, or before, actually, probably. You got to remember, who is he really good friends with, right? Ray Cohn, uber Jew.
Well, he was
also
kind of
in home,
Ray Cohn was
glorified homosexual.
Cohn, gay, was his mentor, Roy Cohn. So how do you avoid the obvious
Jeff.
Inferences there?
Well, you don't. And let me explain. J.D. Vance and Donald Trump have one big thing in common. They both had Jewish mentors, or both homosexuals, and both had this thing for younger guys.
Look, it's 1 + 1 = 2. And if it doesn't equal 2, it's 1.998, okay? It's damn close. So, yes, Roy Cohn was notorious. Trump was right there. Trump was a lapdog, if not more than that. But you're right. Your point is well taken.
Think about this, Jeff. Why would Don Jr., Eric, and Ivanka Trump all supposedly convert to Judaism? They all married Jewesses at the beginning, right? Eric's still married to a Jewess. Donald Jr., he's taken on his father's habits and just going from woman to woman to woman.
Flower to flower.
But the point being is, they never converted because they were Jewish already. And by the way, that, you know, I know Brother Nathaniel has a theory that that's how, you know, Donald Trump got in good with the Jews to be able to go into Manhattan. I'd be honest with you, I would say Donald Trump, when he married Ivana Trump, that was his entrance into Manhattan real estate because he was already Jewish. Now, the Kirshners came later for financing and that type of stuff. But the fact of the matter was, Donald Trump was Jewish from... If he converted with Ivana, either he converted with Ivana or was born Jewish, one or the other, he's been... Which is why he gets what he gets. You look at what he was involved in, Jeff. Over
China, they financed
the 1970s. His dad was a slumlord in Brooklyn in the Bronx, right? Mm-hmm. His father could never get into Manhattan real estate. You had to be Jewish connected to be involved with Manhattan real estate, and it's been that way for a very long time. Because the Jews control the finance, they control the unions, even though the Italians, yes, they were heavily involved in, at one time, I don't know anymore, but at one time the Italian mafia was heavily involved in the unions in New York, the building, builders union, electricians, all the construction trades. Yeah. But who controlled, ultimately, the Italian mafia? Well, they were connected to the Jewish mafia who ran the finances. Right? Which is why, if you ever look at The Godfather, you'll get any really good,
reasonably honest,
where the writers
portrayal.
Try to,
yes.
Where the writers and the producers and directors try to keep it as authentic as possible, you can't look at any mob type program where there isn't Jews involved because they're telling you something. They're telling you how things work. For instance, there was a TV show that only was on for 2 years in the 1980s, a director named Michael Mann, who's Jewish, who also was the director and producer of Miami Vice. Well, he had a show for 2 years called Crime Story. Now, Crime Story was based on the mafia, Italian mafia, out of Chicago, then they moved to Las Vegas, right? But the main character who was in charge of everything was not like some senior Italian mafia. It was a Jewish mafia guy. I don't remember exact his character's name in the show. But in other movies, in other mafia movies, it's always the Jew who's always in a position of power, right? Always
correct.
In a position of power because
they're representing
the Jewish mob interests, right? Because you didn't see an Italian mafia guy representing the Italian mafia in any Jewish mafia organization, but you always seen a Jewish member in an Italian mafia outfit representing their interests.
That's true. That's
right?
True. Yeah.
So let's go full circle back to Donald Trump. He gets into Manhattan real estate in the late 70s, right? Mid to late 70s. Ray Cohn catapults him. Roy Cohn introduces him to the Jewish circles of Manhattan. Then you had the Kirshners get involved, and you know, the Jared Kushner's father, who's now an ambassador, apparently. You had all that, and that's how he ended up getting where he was.
He's ambassador in France, isn't he? I think he's ambassador in France. Let me find out. I think he is.
And then you have, he builds everything in Manhattan. And then guess who promotes Donald Trump during that time? Jewish media. I mean, that guy was on the, how many times did I used to see him on that old 80s show with Robin Leach, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous? He was on there a million times.
Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. Yeah, that was that's a legitimate use of the word iconic, that program. It was for those days.
And look, it was to do one thing, to make the 99% of the American population jealous and envious of rich people.
That's
right. it was a show that threw it in your face. Hey, we're rich, you're not. Ha, ha, ha. And we're going to enjoy our life, and we're going to screw all you guys over so we can keep enjoying our lives. Because that's what that show represented to me.
No, you're right.
And so,
yes,
it was. It was a club.
This is
your face.
How, This is the club,
yep.
and you're not in it. But we're going to let you look. And that's as far as you're getting, though. That's what it was.
And so Donald Trump was promoted by the Jewish media. Then he worked for NBC as the later, much later on, of course. He went to work for NBC, right, as the apprentice. Yeah. He had that TV show for a lot of years. But Donald Trump was on various other different television shows and different things. He was involved in heavily involved in gaming in Atlantic City.
Showbiz,
right? Again,
folks.
How do
you, remember,
yep.
showbiz.
And Jeff, how do you get into casino gaming? Again, you have to have the Jewish finances to back you in any casino operation.
He was in, remember another thing, Gary? He allegedly, now we don't have an inside look into his finances, but allegedly the Trump empire was teetering and ready to go down. And they stepped in and refinanced everything. Probably 0% or 1%, if any. So they saved him, basically taking over ownership because of the amount of financing. This is what I read, and I can't prove it. But they basically took control of the Trump empire and Trump at that time.
Yeah. Well, they did, because let me explain how. Jeff, he went in under the Hetterisca loans. Remember when we discussed this a couple weeks ago about the Hetterisca loans, which is basically you get an interest-free loan as being Jewish. On the other end, okay, what does the lending party get? Well, they get part ownership in your business.
Yep.
They get equity in your business versus charging you usury, right? Now, if you're non-Jewish, they not only get a lien on your anything to do with your business property, they collateralize plus they charge you usury on top of that. See, so he got the Hetterisca loans, bailed himself out. Jewish banking bailed him out in the 80s, in the early 90s when he was in the edge of bankruptcy. I'm trying to remember the guy he was in the first Trump administration. He was heavily involved in the bailout at the time, and I don't remember. I think he had him last time as the Commerce Secretary. I don't remember his name. You know, because he fired so many people during the first administration, you kind of get lost on who was working for him and who wasn't.
Correct. That's correct.
But that guy who, I want to say he was Commerce Secretary last time, and he was heavily involved in Trump's bailout when he was like in dire straits. You know, his real estate empire was collapsing. Everything was the casino industry, all that casino businesses he had went bankrupt. But he was
COVID
bailed out, and then he went on from there after that.
That's right. By the way, Zelensky is a lot of things. He's not totally stupid. The guy has been working to try to get a deal with the U.S. about these so-called rare earths, right? Precious minerals and so forth in Ukraine to make a deal with the U.S. So he's flying to the White House Friday, day after tomorrow, to sign the Trump minerals deal. In other words, he's trying to ensnare as many Western power countries as he can with Ukraine in order to build defenses against potential war. And the idea that the whole country would be overrun and taken out, that they're trying to gain. He's trying to gain what they call purchase, a piece, a chunk, a position to keep Ukraine from being completely absorbed or overrun by Russia. And this is a very smart move. He's coming to the White House Friday to sign this mineral wealth, rare earth deal. And I'm not surprised.
Who are they signing these minerals to? See, we think, oh, he signed to the U.S. government for payback. I believe this is, again, another Jewish scheme to get very valuable different minerals out of the ground out of Ukraine.
Oh, remember, whatever we get, well, hold on. Whatever we get, don't forget, they have first dibs on, okay? Whatever they need by way of American materiel, war or otherwise, that's going to use these rare minerals, rare earths, they'll have first dibs. It's the way the game is played.
Jeff, who's involved in the mineral, in the jewelry business, in the stone business,
the diamond business,
every type of the diamond, the stone business, the gold, you know, all the different jewelry.
They own the diamond. They created the diamond business.
The coins, different things. Yeah. They did. Exactly. So again, who's going to broker? See, because, okay, see, we dig up a bunch of minerals. That'd be great. By the way, here's a little side note to that. I looked at the map of Ukraine, Jeff. The areas that the Eastern Republic that Russia controls right now have very little bit of mining in them republics. Most of the valuable mining interest in Ukraine is in Western Ukraine.
I hadn't heard that.
Which is why
I've heard,
now you
in
can
fact,
get
I've heard,
you can,
I've heard the opposite. Hold on. I've heard the opposite. 2/3 of the wealth of Ukraine was in the east in Donbass. That was the big complaint.
Jeff, I seen a map today, and yeah. I seen where these mineral deposits are. A lot of it was in eastern.
I may have run that map, but I didn't look at it. I want to see that.
70 to 75% of the mining operations, the rare earth minerals, are in western Ukraine.
Interesting.
So, which is why they want that. So who's going to broker these? You know, like say you dig a bunch of minerals up, whatever they are. You have to have a broker, a middleman, right, to sell these to broker them. Who's going to do
For
all
sure.
that? Well, the Jews. They take their 10% VIG, and then of course the corrupt Jewish oligarchs and who run like 90% of the who basically comprises of 90% of any decision making processes in the Ukrainian government. Right. They will take their cut. Of course, the United States and the Jewish banking in this country will take their cut. And by the time it's all said and done, you've had a bunch of people taking a big share of the pie. I would say this too, Jeff. Watch this. I would say a piece of that business, because we've got to understand how much value. OK, so let's just. I think $350 billion, they said, was sent to Ukraine. I don't believe that. I think a lot more was sent to them. Because every 5 minutes, we heard for the past 2 years, more money's going to Ukraine today. It's a lot more than $350 billion. I don't believe the $350 billion.
It could be half a trillion. It could be up that high.
Yeah, easy. So you'd say $500 to $600 billion.
Right.
Probably under the ground in Ukraine, we're talking multiple trillions of dollars.
Well,
so what does that mean? So basically, we bought trillions of dollars in minerals and mining rights for $600 billion. Now, we
same thing,
us,
Gary,
Americans
Gary,
didn't get a benefit at all from this.
Same thing is sitting under the ice in Greenland. Same thing.
Yep.
That's why Trump wants it. That's why the Jews want it. They're gonna get it,
and which is why we'll get it. Oh, we will get it. Yeah, we'll get it. We'll end up by the end of the 4 years. We will take control of Ukraine of the mineral rights in Ukraine, which is what we want. We will be selling massive amounts of natural gas to Europe for God knows how long. Maybe forever. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Greenland will. At first, it'll start off as some type of management agreement with Denmark. Denmark will get a piece. We'll try to remain some type of control over it. Eventually, it will be gone, and it will come directly to us, 100%. And then Denmark might get a cut in the action. Who knows? But the point is, when we see what's going on, the American citizen needs to understand this. You're not going to benefit from any rare minerals under Ukraine. You're not going to benefit anything from Greenland. You're not going to benefit anything from Gaza going into becoming the new Dubai / Riviera of the Mediterranean. None of that is going to benefit the American citizen. It's actually going to be a negative. Why? Because all the money, think about this other genius move, Jim. As a Jew, we're talking Zionist banking, international banking right now. Zionist international banking. $600 billion we sent to Ukraine, we borrowed and paid them interest on, right? We've paid interest on that money to them. Now we're going to take money that they just created out of thin air, right? They've taken their 8% cut through the Federal Reserve, then they're going to, they've already made money on that money. Then that money, where does that debt go to? Where that $600 million, who's on the hook for that? The American people. But then they're going to use that $600 billion that the American people are on the hook for the next God knows how many years, right?
As long as they want.
Yep. And then they're going to take all the rare earth minerals under Ukraine. Of course, the Ukrainian people have no say in this. None. They have no say in this.
14 million of them have already fled. They're gone.
Exactly, Jeff. And so they're gone, and say they come back a little bit, they'll work the mines for next to nothing. Who's going to make the money on these rare earth minerals? Again, the same usual people. The people that let the American people, who they borrowed the money from, right?
Yeah.
The American people borrowed the money or printed, which is the same as borrowing. And we borrowed from the Jews. Then they're going to make money off from this, but then stick us with the loan bill. Because Ukraine ain't on the hook for this money, right? Yeah, they're going to give us the rare earth deals because that's, you know, Zelensky's also getting orders again from the same Jewish interests who are going to make money off these minerals, right? So he's not just answering to the United States or to Trump or whatever. He's not answering to even the Trump at all, I don't think. He's answering to the ones who are pushing Trump, the same people Trump is answering to right now, Zelensky's answering to. Give us your rare earth minerals, and Zelensky don't care. He's going to retire to Miami, where he has his house in four or five
other places.
West Palm.
Yeah. His biggest expense is going to be 24-hour security. People knock him off.
And let me ask you a question, Jeff. Now, I can go down a rabbit hole and say, you know, was this the goal all along for Ukraine, besides the bio labs and the usual things, that dirty things they pull over there? But was one of the big goals was to get the minerals from Ukraine? Because, by the way, Jeff, there's been stories over the past couple of decades where they've wanted to get in Ukraine and get them, and they've been involved with Ukraine mining for quite a while.
Uh-huh.
Now, instead of having to give the Ukrainian government a big cut, right, or pay the local officials, now they own them. Like he's signing over. He's literally signing over the mineral rights of his country to supposedly the United States.
He's one of the most adroit Zionist looters of modern history. He's scored so much. Who knows how many billions the guy's stolen? It's through the roof.
Yep. And what I believe will happen in the end, Russia will keep the Eastern Republics.
Oh yeah,
the U.S. will become a demilitarized or like some type of demilitarized zone,
supposedly
a neutral country. Ukraine will become a neutral country supposedly, but really what it will be is it will become like a place for corruption. People will be able to launder their money through the country. There'll be mining all over the place.
Good points. All good points. You got it. I agree.
Yep. And that's exactly what's going to happen with Ukraine. It's going to become a fiefdom. Look, again, how much of that rare earth minerals in Ukraine will go to fund the Gaza rebuild project for the Trump International Construction Consortium
company
and
yes.
Bibi Incorporated and whoever, like Jewish banking and Howard Lucknick and being involved with him and you can see some of these guys, Scott Bessett, and these guys are just Wall Street raiders. It's what they are.
Oh yeah.
Wall Street wolves.
Well, we're in
a lot of Wall Street wolves are involved in
We are living in an age of theft, criminal corruption, the likes of which most people couldn't imagine. It's that over the top. The Russians must look at this and just kind of scratch their heads. These people are insane. They don't play that game.
I don't think so, Jeff. I think the Jewish oligarchs in Russia are going to get kickbacks in all this.
They always do. That's a given. Yes, of course.
Yep. And
I think the rank and file over there.
With Putin.
What do you think the rank and file Russians think when they look at what's going on here? They know a lot of them.
They're horrified just like we are.
Yeah.
But just like us, they realize they have very limited power. Like
very limited.
They realize that they know they have no decision making anything to do with foreign policy, with finance, the way the country's ran. They have no. They see who look, who surrounds Putin. Yeah, there's a lot of Russian nationalists that surround Putin, which is probably keeping him semi in check. But who finances his power is for him to be able to stay in power as long as he has? A lot of it is Jewish oligarchs in Russia. They're Russian oligarchs, most of them are Jewish, Ashkenazi Jews. And they, look, these guys aren't like Russian nationalists. They're internationalists. They're international Judaism, right? Remember, international Judea, right? World Zionism, you know, Council. These are all members of that. You always remember what Chuck Schumer said. Jews are a nation within a nation. And what does that mean? Usurpers?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be the first word that comes to my mind.
Well, you can look at it another way. You can look at it like there's a shadow government running the Zionist world.
Sure,
whatever you want to call it. It's another. It's again, another parallel. It's a parallel universe.
It's a well-oiled machine, Jeff.
Oh yeah.
When you think about it, yeah. It's like you have two different. It's kind of like I would say the Jewish people, the Jewish religion, if you want religion, whatever you want to call it. There's two parts of Jewish religion. It's like the Freemasons, right? So your local Freemason hall, they're very secretive. Now, are they heavily involved in what the other side of Freemasonry is? No. But are they aware of certain things about Freemasons that are not good? Yes. I believe every Freemason's clued in. Not totally. Maybe they don't have the inside track with like the upper 33 and above Freemasons, right? But the run of the mill, day to day, what you call the blue dog Freemasons, they don't have all the answers, but I guarantee you they know there's a part of Freemasonry that's just not right, but they go along with the program. Same with Jews. There's a part of the Jewish population that's, you know, your run of the mill mortgage broker, real estate agent, that, you know, they're among society. But they do understand they are a part of a club, and through their dogma, through brainwashing at an early age, they're steeped in a lot of this hatred. I would say, I'm talking non-Zionist, meaning like the uber-Zionists really don't answer to any type of Jewish religion or anything like that. We're just talking Jews who are ethnic Jews, I wouldn't consider them ethnic Jews because a lot of them are just converts from the 8th century. But Jews in general, the ones who are in power, the ones who are like really doing bad things, right? There's that part of Judaism or Zionism. Then there's a big part of Judaism, which is your run-of-the-mill, day-to-day Jewish person in whatever city or community you live in. But what I do believe is your domestic Jews who are not part of, who aren't totally 100% plugged into that, 95% are Zionists. That's just my opinion. I think.
Well, when the bell rings, what are they going to do?
They're going to answer to the Jewish cause. They do already. Right?
Right.
I mean, look, how many anti-Zionist Jews are not the co-opted, controlled, supposedly pro-Palestinian movement where it's really just a communist movement? And this guy, look, it could be Palestine, it could be Timbuktu. The communists are going to protest no matter what. They're not doing it because they're feeling bad for Palestinians, right? Because
exactly.
If they were feeling bad about Palestinians, they'd have been doing this for decades, right? They're not. It's just the local communists stirred up communists for their more communist agenda, right? Like I said, it could have been Palestine, it could be Timbuktu. It doesn't matter. That it just happened to be the Palestinians that they latched on to, right? But I'm talking about true, genuine people who have been involved in making people either through protesting or aware or writing articles, doing books, whatever. how many Jews have actually been on the, for the last couple of decades, on the pro-Palestinian, hey, I don't like what my what the Jewish people in Israel are doing to Palestinian people. It's apartheid, it's a genocide. You know, it's a ethnic cleansing, whatever you want to label it. You don't see very many Jews
count them on one hand.
100%,
probably.
Yes. Yeah. 100% dedicated to the cause, right? A lot of times it's marginal. So, for instance, like I witnessed at a couple of protests here, Jeff. At the beginning, it was just a lot of Muslim and Palestinians, a few communist whites mixed in, but it seemed more grassroots at the time. They weren't saying let's kill all Jews. They weren't doing all the silly, we want to bring the Third Reich back and outlandish cartoonish stuff. When did that start happening at the Palestinian rallies, the pro-Palestinian rallies? When all of a sudden, who was their leaders? It was always all of a sudden that who's leading to all these protests? It was a Jewish person. Once you see that, Mossad has co-opted and has taken over the movement, and they will steer it in the direction they want it to go. Do you see any? Let's put it this way: how many pro-Palestinian rallies do you hear about anymore? Anywhere's.
No, they were eradicated. They're gone. They were popping up at universities around the country, colleges. Yep. No, gone. All gone. Gone.
Remember, Jeff, it's like a tool. They pull it out of the tool bag when they need you, put it back in the tool bag, and save you for another time. My point being is they co-opted that movement, just like, if you remember, Occupy Wall Street started off grassroots, turned into just some Jewish communist Bolshevik fest. That's what it turned into at the end. Same as the pro-Palestinian movements. I went to go witness another one, Jeff. This was down in UCLA, around the UCLA area. And it was like, I seen more communist flags, the hammer and sickle, the old Soviet USSR hammer and sickle, Che Guevara shirts, your Lenin shirts, all the Mao, all these different communist symbols, but you didn't see very many Palestinian symbols. No. And I was at the one at UCLA I witnessed, you would have thought that you were more at a communist rally for, to bring back the good old days of the USSR than you were a pro-Palestinian.
Back in the USSR.
Protest.
Yes.
Yeah. And now tells you it wasn't about the Palestinians at all anymore. It was about Jewish Bolshevism.
That's true.
Because a Jewish Bolshevik always ends up taking over these rallies. They say,
you need to talk to this person.
He's our representative. And who's the representative? A Jewish person.
Always. Yeah, it's true. It's true. And they're proud of it. Of course, we're not allowed to talk about it, but they're proud of it. In and amongst themselves, they must laugh like hell. Anti-Defamation League CEO Jonathan Greenblatt has hopped on the Trump train. From the Jewish Insider, is a quote, the ADL's Greenblatt condemns Bannon's Nazi salute, praises Trump executive orders on anti-Semitism. Nearly 4,000 attendees are expected to pack the Jacob Javits Jewish Convention Center in Manhattan on March 3rd and 4th for the Anti-Defamation League's Never Is Now Summit. Right? It's a very contentious moment this is going on, too. So the ADL's big Never Is Now Summit is scheduled for March 3rd and 4th. In Manhattan at the Jacob Javits Center. Now, they're getting very excited about this. Indeed, here's a quote now, you've seen us speak up when we think elected officials or political figures have gotten it wrong, and you've seen us praise them when we think they get it right. Because if they get it wrong, they get attacked unmercifully. So we're watching the Trump administration very closely, said Greenblatt. Anyhow, you know the game. We've talked about it before. There's nothing new here. It's the same old thing. What do the Jews find offensive? Anything they disagree with. That's anti-Semitism. And they've apparently deported a lot of the foreign students who were involved in these university rallies against genocide of Palestinians, calling them anti-Semites. Go ahead.
Well, they're getting rid of the real grassroots protesters. Now, the AstroTurf from the local synagogue, who's running running all these rallies now, they will remain in place until it literally goes away completely. One word I would say about the Tad Dog ADL of B'nai B'rith, I would say when Greenblatt says we're watching the Trump administration, I would change that word to running the Trump administration.
He knows it. We know it. Those who pay attention, of course they are. These are the Zionist states of America to a very large degree now. And this country is being ruled, governed, and overseen by international Zionists. There's no question. None. Now, here's that video I want to play. If I can pull... one other thing. Trump and Lutnick have announced plans now to sell American citizenship to rich foreigners for $5 billion a throw. You're going to sell it.
It's called the gold visa.
That's it.
So basically you're going to buy, it's just like now we've turned to every third world country where you can buy your way into
citizenship. Yeah, they're going to organize the invasion of America and make $5 million a pop on it.
Yeah.
It's hysterical.
Again, who are these people going to be, Jeff? Mostly going to be dual Israeli citizens.
You got it.
Who's, and by the way, now, this is very light on details. Okay, if you want some very nefarious people, very evil, dark people, and you want, like a Jeffrey Epstein, good example. A P. Diddy, good example. Well, let's use Jeffrey Epstein. If I want now, instead of like going through all these channels and to give the Israeli citizen Epstein citizenship in the United States,
right,
all you need to do now is if you need a Mossad Jeffrey Epstein to rape and attack underage girls, and he's a straight pedophile, and then of course uses pedophile honeypot and traps with also boys too. Now, if you want to get that guy into this country now, all they have to do is put up a $5 million, pay $5 million, and I think it's another, invest another like $10 million in some type of business.
It's all disgusting.
And look, what kind of business is going to be? Is going to employ any American? Probably not.
No.
Right? They might set up some corporate headquarters and say, oh, yeah, here's our $10 million investment into America.
Yeah.
Right? So now you'll be able to get Mossad and intel agencies around the world will have a very easy time getting people and becoming
just buying
green card holders in this country.
Easy. Nothing to worry about. Here's Trump's video that he placed on his own Truth Social site. Now, this is about... We all know the term Trump Plaza. All right, everybody knows that. Well, this is titled, and this is about a 30-second video, Trump Plaza, no, Trump Gaza. Get it? All right, here's the video. I think it's up at the top of the homepage now. Should be.
Finally here.
So he's saying, no more tunnels, no more fear. See how they wrap everything in false clothing? That's what they do. All right, let me back it up just a hair. And it's just showing pictures, CGI AI pictures of what the coast of Gaza will look like. And it's funny,
very
the skyline...
marketing.
The skyline that they're showing in this new Riviera... It's Dubai. It's the Dubai skyline, basically. That's
yep.
They're making no bones about it. All right, here.
There's no more fear. Trump Gaza is finally here. Trump Gaza shining bright. Golden future, a brand new life. Feast and dance, the deal is done. Trump Gaza, number one. Trump Gaza shining bright. Golden future, a brand new life. Feast and dance, the deal is done. Gaza, number one.
All right, well, you can take a look at it yourself, but the imagery is quite clear, and it does look very much like Dubai on the Mediterranean. And whatever these people want to do is going to happen. I don't want to sound defeatist, but you tell me a way they're going to be stopped. Sorry, there's nothing I can think of.
Jeff, the amount of Jewish money in Dubai would make your head spin. I was in Dubai in 1993.
Really?
93. Yeah, before I ended up going to Somalia, remember, I was doing a Persian Gulf tour at
That's
the time.
Right.
We were supporting.
That's your first tour.
We were supporting the mass murder of children in Iraq because they couldn't let medicine get through, and they're just blowing up everything. You know, during that, there was
two million
Southern
dead
Watch.
At least there. 2 million, and then yeah. We never stopped bombing during that period of time. Never. Go ahead.
No. So during that time, we had Liberty, what they call leave, Liberty, right? We'd go to Dubai. There was so many gold and stone merchants in Dubai, and 99.9% operating them stones and gold merchant stores. There was so many, Jeff, that like you could pick up gold for like a quarter of the price, like a gold jewelry, like a gold chain or anything, bracelets, chains, rings. I picked up a really nice gold chain, and I'm not a jewelry wearer. I bought it for somebody I know.
A present.
And
okay.
It was a present. It would have cost here good $10,000. It cost me over there $800 at the time. It was that cheap. Mm-hmm. But you can get really, really nice jewelry during that time. I don't know about it anymore. Back then you could. But
look how the word is, Gary. Look how the word is spelled. Come on.
Yeah, jewelry. J-E-W.
Figure it out.
Yep.
Who's behind it all? Go ahead.
And so in Dubai, supposedly a Muslim country, but you know, a Muslim country that allows you to drink in hotels, and you know, and alcohol served in that country, and there's everything. Dubai has everything, but a lot of these jewelry stores there, you had always a Jewish guy in there. They had a Muslim worker working with them and stuff, you know, to appease the local population. But it was the guy in charge, and who was always the one that was the geologist and the gem expert, was always a Jewish guy. And I went into like 12 different jewelry stores in Dubai, and 11 out of 12, that's what you saw. Now, the 12th one that I didn't see, that the guy might have had a day off. I don't know. But, you know, it seems to be a common thing in Dubai. Dubai money will be behind the Gaza thing, because I always believe certain countries in the Middle East, especially the monarchies of the Middle East, a lot of them are crypto Jews.
You betcha. You bet.
They are.
Look at the Saudis. Come on.
There's a good example. The House of Saud, right?
Yeah.
You know, same as Dubai, is ran by a monarchy, right? Kuwait. You know, it's kind of funny. Kuwait is ran by the Emirates, right? And same as Dubai, it's United Arab Emirates, right? They're ran by monarchs. You know, Kuwait is a very interesting country, because there's nothing in Kuwait but oil fields and oil companies. And it's like, there's hardly, and there's like foreign workers that do all the mediocre work. But you look at the monarchy of Kuwait, they're more Semitic Jews. That's what they are. Because look at the countries that Israel never has a problem with.
Now, genetically, you can trace them right back to biblical Jews. I think
exactly.
You're quite right. Yeah.
Yep. And which is why Israel never has a problem. Look, Saudis, and by all claims, is very heavily involved in terrorism. right? You know, like most of the supposed 9/11 hijackers were all Saudi nationals.
Yeah.
Right? And we say a Saudi national. How many people live in Saudi Arabia? Not very many. Right? There isn't that many people that live in Saudi Arabia. There isn't. There's not that big of a population there. So when you say Saudi nationals, it's not like you're taking them out of a pool of hundreds of millions of people. You're not. No. It's a very small population, these are. And so, again, Israel has problems with certain countries around the Middle East. And the only reason why they have problems with them is because they just want what's in their country, the oil, the minerals. Of course, they want the banking and the central
banking
control.
Well, let's just pull back and look at it again as Greater Israel, all of it. And they want it all.
I don't remember the author, but you remember the there's a little document out there, little essay or document, it was or a little handbook, whatever you want to call it, not very big, but it's a book called Strategies for Israel in the 1980s, and I don't remember the exact author. It's a very Jewish sounding name. But the guy who wrote it, he worked for the Israeli government. And basically, the strategy for Israel in the 1980s was basically take over Syria, take over Yemen, take over Iran, right, and control the Middle East and under what they call the Greater Israel Project, right? That's where the Greater Israel Project came from. That name was that book, and it was a kind of like I think he was involved in Israeli intelligence, but the guy wrote the book, and people should read that to get a understanding of why U.S. foreign policy, it's not U.S. foreign policy, U.S. It's Israeli policy for their outpost, the United States. Because
we're the implementors of their policy in many cases.
Let's put it this way, Jeff. Who's leading who? Who has the collar around their neck and who's holding the chain? I'll put it very simple. The United States is in the collar. We're not leading Israel anywheres. No. It's not happening.
Fair enough.
It's the other way around. And so when we talk about this, so you read that little that document, the little book, it's a strategy for Israel in the 1980s. And you get an understanding why there was a Desert Storm, why there was an Afghanistan, why was there an Iraq war, why are we taking over big parts of the country of Syria and stealing the oil and
why are there already believe the number is 7 or 8 Israeli military bases in Syria. Bases. Now who's paying for all that? American taxpayers. Same old story. So Israel is expanding. They will not leave Syria. Count on it. They're building bases. And they've got 6 or 7 already.
By the time they're done stealing land from Syria, Jeff, not only will Syria be smaller than Rhode Island, it'll probably be about the size of Providence, Rhode Island.
Yeah, it could
be
true.
By the time it's all said and done, and it'll just be a shell of what it won't even be any. They'll be crammed into these areas and these slums, and just like the Palestinians, Syrians will be ran out of whatever's left of their country.
That plan, by the way, was called the Yinon, Y-I-N-O-N, Yinon,
yes,
Yinon,
that was the
Yinon
that
plan.
That was the author, yes.
Yeah, 1982. A strategy for Israel in the 80s, that's what it was.
Which was basically strategy for Israel for the next 100 years. That's what it should have really said. But he made it look like it was just for the 1980s. It wasn't. It was strategy
You're
for
really
Israel
laying
from here
this
on
out very well. Gary, as you always do, but it's true. And there's nothing nefarious about the description you're giving here at all. It's nothing anti-Semitic
and by the way,
about
Jeff,
it at all. Nothing.
If you look at the PNAC document, Project for a New American Century, written all by Zionist neocon war pigs, they took strategy for Israel in the 80s, and they just re-upped it for the 2000s. They changed a little bit of language. They changed a little bit of the terms. But it's really, the PNAC document is just strategy for Israel in the 80s 2.0. That's all it is.
If Americans only knew how controlled their nation was by an outside force that is actually inside and outside, they wouldn't believe it. They wouldn't believe it. Anyhow, great job, Gary. Thank you.
See, the thing is, Jeff, they better start believing this, because our existence, our future existence, meaning our future, is going to be miserable future or a half-miserable future, you need to know this information.
Stargate, keep an eye on it. Thank you, Gary. Talk soon. Take care.
You have a good evening, Jeff. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Okay. We will be back with more in just a few minutes. Hang on.